You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
And welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm your host, Carrie Lutz. Well, here we are. It's already almost the end of January, and companies are trying to reopen offices, trying to get you back into the office. And you out there are pushing back. You're rejecting this notion that you need to be in the office in order to be productive. Well, how's that going to work out for you? Let's talk with our good friend, Carl Gould, who has always the inside track on these business trends. Carl, it's great to have you back. And if you got a question for Carl, myself, kl@carrielutz.com, that is the email address. Carl, what is going on with this workplace here? People like being remote, and now they want to take that away.
Yeah, so Carrie, it's, you know, we've talked about this, you and I, over the last couple of years, and in a way, we can't blame the employees, because when COVID hit and the pandemic started, we sent them home. We sent them home and we said, go ahead, figure it out at home, and we'll bring you back when you're ready or it's time or whatever. Okay, fast forward 2 years, and they're well entrenched in working from home, and so. It's not a surprise that there's some pushback right now, but we absolutely need to bring them back to the office.
All right. But, you know, we go back to like Elon Musk. He put out a memo to everybody in Twitter. You can no longer pretend to work from home. Do you think that's fair? Do you think people are as productive at home? What have the latest studies told you about that?
Well, there are certain types that can be more productive at home or equally as productive. And there are some arguments for the efficiencies of living at home, meaning I don't have to commute, I don't need to take time off for lunch. But that assumes somebody is strapped to their desk or their cubicle the entire time. And that's the part that's almost impossible to regulate. And think about it, though, productivity happens once everybody is on the same page, understands what their job is and what the task is. And a lot of those instructions and a lot of that comes from the company culture and the things that you get from meetings when you are in the office. So they're not isolated from each other.
All right. So it's obviously certain jobs require your presence there. There's no question.
For sure.
Delivering stuff, if you're manufacturing. So really the blue collar working class employees kind of got the short end of this work from home stuff, didn't they?
Well, yeah, if we're saying that they would have wanted to be working from home, then they may have gotten the short end of the stick. But there are, I mean, we encourage our clients from the very beginning. We said, get open, stay open. In other words, don't shut down, don't close down for any reason. Use the mitigation measures and the recommendations by the CDC. But to the extent that you can, make it business as usual. And I understand there were at certain times you couldn't do that, but for the most part, most businesses could do that. And the ones that did, the ones that closed for whatever reason, they're now feeling it because you sent everybody home 2 years ago and you helped make the mess that you're in right now.
Right. And yeah, so I guess you were right in the long run because you get these employees spoiled. Like I no longer have to commute. I could live anywhere. I could live in a low tax place. If you live in New York, for instance, why not get out of New York? And then they lower the boom. I mean, I know a certain relative of mine was actually running a business from chairlifts of various ski resorts around North America during this whole lockdown.
Right. And one of the things that started to happen was, you know, there are certain people that said, I don't want to come back to work. And you could say, oh, well, they're being lazier, entitled or whatever. There is a big portion of this group that have become serious side hustlers and part of the gig economy. Some of them don't want to come back to the office because they don't want to give up their side hustle. And by coming back into the office, they would have to give it up. And so they kind of like the job because it pays them a salary plus benefits, and they do their side hustle at the same time, you know, or when it's convenient. So that's another big reason. You know, there is an additional 2 million people who said that they did a remote project during the pandemic. 2 million. That's a lot.
That is a lot. So no wonder they're pushing back, huh?
Sure. And, you know, can't blame them. So it's incumbent on the employer to put their foot down and say, if we are an in-office company, then it's time to come back to the office. Just plain and simple. Because, look, before the pandemic, there was nobody out there saying that the way to build a great business and the way to build a winning and a championship culture is to send everybody home and have them work in their flip-flops in front of a Zoom camera, a laptop camera in their home. Nobody was saying that. And because that's not how you build a great culture or, you know, a great business. And so we all know the answer is that in order to be the business you want to become, you're going to bring people back to the office. You know, now, if you're an employer and you're dealing with the fact that you downsized your office space because it was expensive during the pandemic, then yes, you might have to go to rotating desks or rotating shifts, meaning you might only require 3 days a week and people can rotate in so you can take advantage of the empty desk and rotating employees. So There's going to need to be some compromise here, but for the most part, most businesses need to get back to at least 3 days a week in the office.
All right. And yeah, I think a hybrid approach probably is the best approach, Carl. Don't you agree?
Well, it's going to be necessary, and it's a good one. The other thing you could do is you can go to 10-hour workdays as opposed to 8-hour workdays. So I might say, all right, instead of 5 8-hour days, I'm going to go to 4 10-hour days. And so one shift is going to work Monday through Thursday. There might be a weekend shift, or somebody's going to work the first half of the week. Someone works the second half of the week. You can always do that where you go to 3 12-hour days. So there's lots of ways to do this. You know, firefighters have been doing it for decades, you know, 2 days on, 2 days off, 24 hours on, 24 hours off. And so there are other companies where this can work as well. So they'll have to get a little creative in how they schedule and how they bring their employees back. But it's time for these companies to regain their competitive edge to, you know, be back and collaborating, because the bigger conversation is that consumers have changed how they buy. They have different demands now, and we are spending a lot of our time with our clients helping them react and respond to what the new normal of commerce is. And so, you know, if I'm a company, I want my team in a room together, brainstorming, troubleshooting, and collaborating so we can, you know, stay as lean and agile as possible.
So when we look back at this time where people learned that they could do much of your job, much of your responsibilities at home, what do you think we're going to think about all this?
Well, I first thing I would want to do is I would want to address the legitimate life circumstances that some employees have had to deal with since the pandemic. In other words, they were sent home. Okay. Maybe they had to sell their car because they couldn't afford it. They don't have a car now. Maybe there are family members that are living at home that they have to care for. Maybe they bought a pet. You know, the animal shelters were nearly empty during the pandemic, so a lot of people have pets now. There are kids that are homeschooled now, or they do their schooling hybrid. So there are some employees that have legitimate life circumstances that they are dealing with now that they didn't have before. And if you're an employer, I would just sit down with them and say, "Tell me what's going on. What's going on in your life that might be a hindrance right now to you coming back into the office, and let me see how we can accommodate you," right? There might be some things that legitimately we can do to help with the situation. If someone is just saying, "Hey, look, I don't feel like it," well, then that's the kind of person that you have on your staff that might not be fully bought into the core values of the company, and you might want to evaluate whether you want them in your company or not anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I know what you mean with the shelters were just emptied out. You got all these pets. Now they want you back. You've changed your whole lifestyle. and you've still been a loyal employee, and you know, you got to be unhappy, right? I mean, really, what are you supposed to do? I mean, in the end, the employer says, well, you either want a job or you don't, right? And then you have to decide.
That is true. However, what I would add to that, and I'm with you, you do have to decide. Are you on this train, or are you going to find another one? And look, a year ago, when it was very much an employee market, the employees were really dictating what their future was. But the reality is now is that companies are realizing that they did overpay and overstaff during COVID just to get through. And now they're realizing, wait a minute, I can't afford all this ransom that I paid over the last 2 years. And remember, we were talking about this a year ago, that at some point, these businesses are going to realize they can't afford all these inflated salaries, and they're going to start shedding some headcount. And it's happening now. We're seeing it in the tech sector. Between the big technology companies, they just shed 30,000 some odd jobs. I mean, it's the pendulum is swinging back to being an employer's market. And so it's not going to be so easy to just say, oh, I don't feel like it.
Yeah, no. And yeah, so the companies, in a lot of ways, they really did take care of their employees way more than you have to do. There weren't that many layoffs. And yeah, then you had the shortage, of course. Of course, you had the shortage of employees. But we're in a different world now, right?
Don't just survive. Thrive. The Financial Survival Network.
Osino Resources is a Ross Beatty-backed gold exploration company in mining-friendly Namibia. Osino's district-scale land package is situated near two producing gold mines, one of which Osino's management team previously developed and sold to B2 Gold. Osino's founders and management are experienced mining professionals who have already successfully developed and sold two companies in the past 7 years. Osino has an excellent shareholder base, with Ross Beatty owning 20%, insiders 5%, and Resource Capital Funds 8%. This is an exploration company with drills turning that you'll definitely want to pay attention to. Osino trades in New York under the ticker OSIIF and in Toronto under the ticker OSI. To learn more, go to osinoresources.com. That's osinoresources.com.
This is the Financial Survival Network, the information you need to thrive now more than ever.
We are. And what's going to start happening, and we talked about this a while ago, is companies are simultaneously looking to bring their employees back into the office. They're looking to hire what I'll call domestic employees, and they are starting to look to outsource to virtual assistants and other business processing outsourcing companies. And you're going to see BPOs, or business process outsourcing, have really boom, because the owners are going to realize that they need a budget-friendly solution, and they need a permanent one. So we're not fighting people to come back to the office. We're not fighting with people to do their jobs. They'll just start outsourcing, and that's where a lot of this is going to be heading.
Yeah. So, you know, you got to feel bad for people. Sometimes you just can't win. You know, you adapt for the company. A lot of people, yes, maybe their lives were easier, taking care of kids, doctor's appointments, all of that kind of stuff. But then, you know, you adapt, even though it's harder in a lot of respects. Hey, a lot of people gained a lot of weight during this lockdown, during the pandemic, Carl. And, right? It's difficult. So it's not all one way, right?
Not at all. And look, it was tough on everybody. There was even the companies and the industries that COVID was actually good for, those people were so slammed that, and they're so burnt out that it was tough for them, just in a different way. So this was not easy on anybody. There's no blame to be placed or picking on anybody or pointing fingers. This is just, hey, the last 2 years, we did what we had to do to get through it. Okay. Now things need to normalize. And so if the pandemic was a gift to you or a curse to you, whatever that was, you know, we need to get back to how our businesses and our companies need to run and function at their optimal. And it's going to include people being in the same, you know, room together. And if an employee's not willing to do it, they're going to be finding a job somewhere else.
And that might well be the case. Look, one other thing we've seen happen during the pandemic, Carl, is mobility. People just leaving, taking jobs, right? We hadn't seen that type of thing in quite a while.
That's true. That's true. And so this is going to be, in the end, for the most part, people are very creative and they're very entrepreneurial. And so this time will lead to innovation that will help us find a better work environment and ultimately a better customer experience overall. So between the way technology has stepped up with the creativity of business owners and employees who have become gig workers, we're going to find a very comprehensive solution to all of this. So I have very high hopes that we're going to come out of this even better and stronger than we were before.
Well, you know, it's really good. You know, you get in your habit, you get in your rut, and then something happens, you get a challenge, and either adapt or die, right? And it showed that most people here adapted and probably, maybe they didn't do as well as they were doing before, but you really turned things around and kept it going, right? You found a solution.
And we always do. You know, we always do get through these times. We have a 100% track record of surviving the tough times in our lives. We're all here, right? So we'll figure out a way through this too. I encourage employers to speak to their employees and ask the question, what can I do to help? And employees, I encourage you to be open and transparent with your employer and just say, hey, look, these are just the circumstances I wasn't dealing with a couple of years ago that I'm dealing with now. And so how can we find a compromise? And my experience with employers, because that's where I do most of my advising, is that they're very flexible. And they would, to the extent that they can, they will accommodate any reasonable request. So I would just encourage both sides to open up the dialogue for that.
Hey, and look, I wouldn't recommend you telling them that you got a side gig and it's going to, or a side hustle, it's going to interfere with it. But if you say, look, I got a kid who needs a lot of attention, can we meet halfway? Because I don't think companies really want people to be in the office every day for the most part, other than Elon Musk. But they want you to be there at least 3 times a week. Look, just communication-wise, Carl, you know that most communication that takes place between people is nonverbal. And being on a Zoom call, it's much harder to get those nonverbal cues than one-on-one. And the whole scope of human communication is multifaceted. So you being in your little cocoon in your office at home isn't really going to be helping you in most situations and the company in the long run.
Right, right on. 100%. And look, if some of this is going to be forced, I would recommend you be proactive because you'll have much more of a say in how your short-term future is. But it's all heading in the same direction. So I think we're all going to get there at some point. It's just a question of how painful do you want to make it and how hard do you want the transition to be?
Yeah, eventually we're going to get back to normalcy here. The sooner we do, the better off we'll all be. Carl, where is the best place to find you these days to connect with you, get your books, all of that?
Oh great. Go to carl360.com, carl360.com. That's my personal site, and that's where you can, everything I have is in one place, so you can connect with me on social and a book. We can connect and open a dialogue there.
I like that. I'm going to become carry360.com. Hey, if you got a question for Carl, just shoot me an email. We'll get you an answer. KL@carryletz.com. Post comments on the YouTube channel. We will answer them as well as quickly as we can. And while you're at it, when you're at the site, financialsurvivalnetwork.com, make sure you sign up for your free newsletter. Carl, it's always a pleasure, always enlightening, thought-provoking speaking with you. And we will talk to you again real soon.
Thanks, Carrie.
Thanks for listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.